Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Yes. And yes, we did so well on that intro. Also, Joss just informed me we are killing it in Sweden.
Switzerland.
Sweden? Come on, catch up.
Also in the United Arab Emirates. Killing it.
Very popular there. Thank you for listening, everyone. And feel free to leave us a 5-star review.
Yes,
please. And tell your friends about how lovely and entertaining we are.
Yeah, we are, I think, a good time.
We have a good time. We do.
Yeah.
Joss, I'm going to read our first letter this week.
Okay.
And we have gone a little rogue here.
Yeah.
This is not a female friendship. It's a female and a male.
Right.
And we just thought that because her issues were so universal that we would go ahead and address it, even though he's a guy.
Yeah.
So, dear ladies, one of my best friends is a male who shall remain nameless and whom I adore. He and I are strictly platonic. But she did write plutonic. Like, wow, that's a completely different kind of word. I'm also correcting grammar as I read. It's just a habit. He and I are strictly platonic. And even though we don't live in the same state anymore, we've always talked a lot. However, over the last couple of years, it's becoming an issue. He doesn't stop texting all day long with nothing of importance or substance. Gifts, memes, stickers are just the same stuff he talks about every day. This past year, I got a job where I really can't be on my phone, so I can't talk as much. Honestly, the texting was getting extremely overwhelming anyway. He blows up my phone constantly. The last few years, even if I said I wasn't available to talk or was going into a meeting, he would blow up my phone anyway. We've had many talks about it in several different ways. I let him know how I love him and want to be there for him, but it's making me feel overwhelmed. He's about 7 years older than I am and never gets out and doesn't really care for people. Mm. He was close to a few people who ended up treating him like crap a while back, so I get that he feels abandoned. I'm sure it didn't help that I left the state also during COVID. He hasn't had a girlfriend or gotten laid in the last 10 years, and it seems like he's given up. It's hard to watch because he used to be so confident and outgoing. I keep trying to give him the best advice I can to support him and help him, but he doesn't ever take my advice. I feel like he just wants to complain about life and not do anything about it. I love him so much, and I feel awful for saying this, but he's becoming a burden. He needs to go find a hobby or date to boost his confidence, although I know he needs to be okay with himself first. I've now been going 2 or 3 days without responding because as soon as I do, he doesn't stop with the texting. Or as soon as he sees me get on Facebook, he immediately starts blowing up my messenger. If I don't answer, he messages me on Instagram as well. I could sit and text him 24 hours a day and it wouldn't be enough. It's making me not want to talk to him at all. I'm really working on myself and starting to become healthier. I'm sending him everything I'm doing, including positive podcasts and workouts, in the hopes that he'll get motivated too. What do I do? I love my friend and I want to help. I feel like I'm enabling him to lean on me and just keep complaining all the time and talking about the same things over and over. I feel like I've done everything I can do. He refuses therapy, even though he's on medication, and refuses to try to date or meet new people or join groups that do activities that interest him. But then he complains to me about how he's not happy and wants a girlfriend. I don't know how to help him, and I feel like I want to run away from him all the time. When I asked him why he messaged me all the time, he says, because I want to. Do you have any advice on how to help me work through this and not feel so guilty for not wanting him to talk all day, every day? I feel like I can't be that person for him. And when I try telling him that, he gets so angry and defensive and hurt. I don't want to lose my friend, but I also feel so stuck with him. Signed, Heavy Hearted. She didn't really sign it that way. I just gave that to her.
That was really a good name, though.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Heavy Hearted.
Yeah. So immediately on my paper here, I wrote depression.
Yeah.
The guy, he sounds very depressed. Very, very depressed.
Yep. And he does need counseling and he needs a medication check.
Yes. Yes. It may be that he needs to up the dosage on his medicine. Mm-hmm. Though I'm not recommending you say that to him. I'm recommending that you have him go to see a doctor first off, and also then a therapist.
Yeah.
I think you can couch it in the terms that you're very concerned about his mental health. Because he sounds in really tough shape. Like he's really struggling here.
Yeah. I definitely, that was the first thing I wrote too. He needs counseling and a medication check.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, Heavy Hearted. He may have been your great friend once upon a time, but he's being a terrible friend now.
Yeah.
He's ignoring everything you say and your parameters and boundaries, which are very reasonable. Mm-hmm. And he's just plowing on ahead without regard for you. That is not friendship. And you can't help him. You know, he can only help himself.
Yes.
But you can try to be Yoda to his Luke Skywalker, you know, do or do not. There is no try.
Yeah, I have that right here in my office. I love it.
It's such a great quote.
It is.
I think that you are going to have to say to him, Luke, not his real name, I adore you, right? I love you. I admire you for this, that, and the other thing. But our friendship isn't working for me the way it is now. I feel like you never get enough of my time and energy. It can feel to me like you don't care about what I need or want. For example, when I ask you not to text so much, you don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, let's have a talk date on Tuesday and Friday. And we'll chat and text then. And if you blow up my phone or my DM, then I'm going to have to block you for a while.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I do. I think it's fair. I think it's also fair for you to say to him that I need you to respect my job, which doesn't allow this during the day. It's, you know, I need my job. It's my source of income. You know, I wouldn't be able to live without it. And I need you to respect that.
Right.
By not texting me or instant messaging me or DMing me or any of the other things while I'm at work. So from 9 to 5, let's call it quits. Let's not do that.
And you can also say, of course I can, you know, you can turn off your phone, you can silence your phone, but then you're going to have 130 texts to read afterwards. So you right. do have to say, do not text me at all during yeah. work.
Right, right. And then I do think, you know, Kristen talks about the one honest conversation. It sounds like you guys are not in the same city or state anymore. So maybe a Zoom call with drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And talk to him about his defensiveness when you want to talk to him about his mental health, and talk to him that say that you're worried about his mental health. He's really leaning on you in a way that's unhealthy, I yeah. think.
It's going to destroy whatever affection you have for him. And, you know, you say in your letter, Heavy Hearted, that other people have walked away from him.
Mm.
There's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason he hasn't had a girlfriend or gotten laid in more than 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, his behavior is driving people away. It's driving you away. And you feel like, oh, but I'm the last one left. I can't abandon him.
That's so true. That is so true.
But you can, and you don't want it to come to that. So I think that should be part of your honest conversation of, I can't keep this up. It makes me sad and uncomfortable that I feel that I'm the only person you talk to. Mm-hmm. I am worried about your mental health. And I can't help you here. You have to help yourself. But what I would love is, you know, our Tuesday night Zoom date with glass of wine. And that, and then we can talk for an hour or two. And then the next week we'll do it again.
Yeah.
But it cannot be like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to have to stop being your friend because I don't have this much energy to give back to you.
And you shouldn't. This requires a lot of professional skill, I think. Mm-hmm. I also think that you're the only person actually in the relationship. Because he is not respecting your boundaries, because he is like going overboard, needing all this attention and not listening to what you have to say or what you need, that there's no reciprocation. You're the only person in this relationship, and it's not quite the friendship that we advocate for anymore. Right. And I think that's something that you can talk to him about. I think that's a fair criticism to make, that you are not receiving anything from him, but are always on the giving end of this. Right. Of things, right?
And he's pouring out his disappointment, bitterness, frustration onto you, and you're receiving it.
Yeah.
So if you have this conversation and he says, oh my gosh, I didn't realize how much I was doing that to you. I'm so sorry. I got to like step back and think about this. Then he's your friend. He's going to try.
Yes.
And if he says, well, you're the only one I have, and you know, I'm so depressed, and then he's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And he's saying essentially, I don't care how you feel. I care about how I feel.
Right. Which is what it sounds like to me. What you've written is everything is, I don't care about how you feel. I need to do this and I care about what I need to do.
And you know, you're not his mother. You're not his therapist. You're not his sibling. You're his friend. And you're so precious in that.
Yeah.
I think that you should bring it up and say, I don't want our friendship to end. I really enjoy your company, but not like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And do stress, I think, that you're worried about him. He sounds in a really bad place. Yeah. All of these things that you've described to me sound like the hallmarks of depression. Yeah. And that he gets defensive and that his medication is not working. All of that is depression talking. That's my experience with depression. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm seeing. So I think you can say to him, you know, I'm really worried about you. You know, the way you've changed over the last few years and have become so needy. This is not you. This is not the person that I know. I mean, I think you can do it that way. Right. And maybe stave off the defensiveness. Cause I know people who you try to have that honest conversation with and they immediately get defensive and nothing can go forward.
Right.
You know, in that situation.
And that's, you know, that's a difficult aspect of friendship is when you have to have a conversation about the quality of the friendship and understand that this person, your Luke here, might get so defensive and angry that he ends the friendship because of this loving phone call.
Right.
Yeah. And if he does that, he has not been your friend for a good long while.
Agreed. Agreed. I agree with that completely.
I you sound like such a caring and wonderful person. And if he's your friend, he probably was that at some point too. To me, it sounds like he might even have a little bipolar tendencies there with the, I'm depressed, I can't get out, but I can text you 10,000 times this week.
Could, you know? Yes, that could be true also.
I'm not a healthcare professional, but he really needs to see one.
Yeah. And I was telling Kristen earlier that my own therapist was saying that there's like a dearth of therapy because since COVID, many therapists have come out of retirement to try to help people. And now they're just so booked up.
But right. There's like the talk therapy and yes. Better health. And there's a whole bunch of those online things. So
that's what I was about to recommend. It's like, you know, I encourage you to try those new, and they're all over the place. These new sort of online places that might be able to give him some help or at least a starting point, right? This is a place where you can start and you can move on from there.
And I would also say heavy-hearted that you might need that as well.
Mm.
Because it's very difficult to feel that you are responsible for this other person's happiness, mental health, sense of place in the world, and to be crumbling under it. You can be very hard on yourself. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's hints of that in your letter of like, I feel so bad, I don't want to do this, but mm-hmm. you're obviously drowning here.
Yeah.
And yeah. In order to kind of take a step back and see the friendship for how it is, it might be really helpful to have a therapist tell you, you are not being cruel here. You're not being unkind. You're just asking for some normal boundaries and mm-hmm. respect in this friendship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing you can do, heavy-hearted, is play him this episode.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Because you do, you know, it can be so hard to say these things.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps you can say, so I've been really struggling lately and I've brought this up to you before, but I feel like you haven't really heard me. So I actually wrote into a podcast about friendship
mm-hmm.
and they took my letter and here's what they have to say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
yes, I agree. My gosh.
No, I mean, that's great. It does sound like he's, you know, once upon a time, he was a guy that you loved hanging out with who had so many qualities. And in 10 years, he's not that guy anymore.
Yeah.
You can't be friends with a memory.
That, oh my God, profoundness of that.
Stitch that on something, Joss.
I know, my God, it's called stitch. You need to frame it. No, that's amazing. And yes, at least if you play him this podcast, this is a place, again, to start a conversation with him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree completely.
Yeah. So we wish you all the best and all the luck in handling this. Take care of yourself. You sound like an absolutely amazing friend.
Yeah, do. I think, too, part of the things that might affect you later after this conversation, especially if it doesn't go well, is the guilt of it all. And so, you know, definitely therapy would help you navigate that.
Right. And, you know, guilt comes from when you've done something wrong or unkind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what you're doing. You might feel sad,
mm-hmm.
but you'd have nothing to feel guilty about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So good luck, honey. And do write back to us and tell us how it goes. We love those letters.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
So, Joss.
Yeah.
You've noticed something about me, which leads me to my embarrassing personal problem.
I will say I couldn't help but notice.
Yeah.
I would say that.
It's very hard not to notice. Yes. Listeners, my beloved Robert, who cut my hair for 15 years and cut it so well, yes. Retired.
Right.
And didn't even tell me and didn't even give me his home address so I could go over for haircuts because yes, he really wants to retire. Go figure. So I've been a little lost and I've been wandering around trying to find a place that will give my short hair a cut. You know, I don't think I should have to pay $75 to have a haircut when my hair is short. I should just go to a barber shop, right? So I have paid a ridiculous amount without Robert. And so I decided the other day to just go into a Supercuts.
Mm-hmm.
My husband gets his haircut there and he has great hair, never looked better. He's smoking hot these days. And so I went in, and this very beautiful, lovely girl came over, and I thought, like, she's young and hip and pretty. And she's like, so what do you want? And I said, yeah, I have a pixie, and it's really shaggy and outgrown. So, you know, you give me your version of a pixie haircut. Mm-hmm. That advice has never gone wrong until this young lady. So she puts the apron around me. I take off my glasses. I close my eyes because there's hair raining down on my face. And then when I open my eyes, all I can see is my forehead.
Yeah.
Because she cut my bangs like I would have cut them in first grade with a pair of those blunt scissors.
Right. Yes.
The kind comparison is Mia Farrow in Rosemary's Baby. The unkind comparison is I just got out of the Marines.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say about it.
Okay.
It is drastic because I wasn't expecting you to lose that much fringe, right?
Yeah.
And I will say your eyebrows look amazing because they arch up beautifully and now really see your face. So they look incredible. I will also say that you can probably create a kind of spiky situation with product and make that happen. And that can look nice until it grows out. But I am not accustomed to seeing you without that. I mean,
I did not. Me neither. And you know how it is. Like, I went to the grocery store yesterday and I caught a glimpse of myself in the reflection of the car door. And I was like, oh my God, you know, horrifying. I have not had a bad haircut in a really long time. And, you know, this lovely young lady whose own hair was amazing.
Sure.
Just, I don't know. She just got a little carried away.
Yeah. And
when she was done, she said, is it too short?
After it all, is it too short?
I said, well, what are you going to do if I say yes? Gonna, like, get some scotch tape and put it back on?
I know. Oh my God. Well,
so the good news is my hair grows fast.
It'll grow. I was going to say it'll grow. And what I found since I've cut my own hair, by the way, my haircuts cost $80.
Oh.
Haircut, which I pay every penny of. And I don't even grimace about it because my hair has got spiral curls and it's really weird. And Susie, thank you, Susie, does an amazing job. So I pay the $80 and I tip her 20%. Anyway, it'll grow fast. It'll grow up really nicely. And then, you know, I think in the time that it's growing out, you then have to probably interview a new stylist. I don't know that you can keep going to sort of this generic wholesale Costco kind of a place. Do you know what I mean?
Just that once. The other two times since Robert abandoned me.
I'm sure he doesn't feel that way about it.
Personal betrayal, Robert, okay? Stabbed me in the heart and I will never forgive you. I think I got two haircuts since Robert left, and both of them were quite nice. And I know that hairdressers love when you say, well, what do you think would look good on me? Go for it.
Yeah.
I think my young person just maybe was too inexperienced, maybe not used to white hair. She herself was black.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, I have meetings in New York next week. And the week after that, my beloved husband and I are celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary.
Right.
And we're going to get all dressed up and renew our vows in a little church and then go out for dinner. And I will have the ugliest hair that I've had in 20 years.
I think, don't look at it that way. I really feel like a good amount of there's product out there that's for you. at this stage. And, you know, listeners, why don't you on our Facebook page add some images of celebrities, say, who have super short hair that you think would look good on Kristen and how she could style her hair.
I think in about 3 weeks, I might be able to say Jamie Lee Curtis instead of Rosemary's, you know. So.
But the horror queens is what you're saying.
I'll take it.
Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net and please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends forever.